Expecting Good Things, page 139. The bottom could fall out at any time. The sky could fall. We could get ill. Our car could quit running. We could lose our job. Our finances could crash. Our children's life could go badly. Our friends could turn against us. It's easy for us to live in a state of anxiety, always expecting bad things to happen. In Job, God explained the way things work here on earth. Job said, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dread has happened to me." Job 3:25. There are an unlimited number of things that we can worry about. These anxieties can deprive us of the happiness God intended us to have. That is precisely why Satan is always trying to inject unpleasant thoughts into our minds. But God gives us the authority and ability to reject all such thoughts. We can choose instead to embrace whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. When our minds are invaded by unpleasant thoughts, God wants us to think about something else. When we obey Him, good things happen. It's easy for us to adopt the lifelong habit of wasting our time and energy on downcast thoughts. Once in place, these negative thoughts can eventually destroy our happiness. The wiles of Satan are so subtle that we may not perceive this process as it occurs. However, there is a solution. We can make deliberately choices to reject disagreeable thoughts and place them with those that are excellent or praiseworthy. Learning to think pure and noble thoughts does not come easily. It can be so much easier for us to heed Satan rather than God. But when we reject the devil and obey God, the rewards are unlimited. Our minds and spirits radiate a new, ever-abundant joy. If you have not turned your thoughts to the true, the noble, the pure, I urge you to do so now. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name. Unable to sleep is our next story. We all endure sleepless nights that seem to last forever. We toss and turn and fret all night. When morning finally came, we dragged ourselves from bed, convinced that we would have a miserable day, and we did. For many years, I permitted myself to spend the following day fretting over my lack of sleep. Those thoughts were not happy, and my body responded by agreeing with my every negative thought. Those days dragged on and on. Then one day, the Holy Spirit interrupted my self-pity and asked me why I had slept so poorly the night before. I listed what I thought were the reasons. Then he asked me if I thought God had any part in my lack of sleep. My initial response was, "Oh no, he wants us to rest well, so we will be healthy." That seemed reasonable to me, good response. But the Spirit pressed on with scripture verses about all things working for my good. Why then couldn't God use my lack of sleep to do something good for me? Then the Holy Spirit began to inquire into why I had been doing while I couldn't sleep. What had I been doing since I'd been up already? Well, I thought I hadn't prayed for anybody because all I could think about was going back to sleep. And no, I hadn't spent that extra time praising the Lord because I was too tired to think about that. My answers, I know now, were based on a mistaken belief that sleeping well all night is good and interrupted sleep is bad. This mistaken belief cost me many years of needless unhappiness, years during which I accepted the spirit of tiredness and felt sorry for myself. But the Holy Spirit changed all that. Now I greet each day with joy and enthusiasm. Now I know that God wants to use my nights, whether results or not, for my good and His glory. Now the day following a restless night takes on a new perspective to me. My thoughts become positive as I rejoice in God's wonderful goodness to me, and my body responds to what I believe. Sleep is not as critical as we grew up believing it to be. True, we enjoy its healing quality, but there are many things that God wants us to learn, some of which can best be learned while the world around us sleeps. It is during the stillness of the night that God seeks our attention and draws us into prayer and praise. The night before he was crucified, Jesus knew that his disciples would be faced with a difficult time. He knew that their bodies needed all the strength they could get from a good night's rest, but he also knew they needed spiritual strength far more, for soon he would be arrested. They would be tempted to deny that they had ever known him. For that reason, he awakened them twice and urged them to pray. Couldn't you even stay awake with me 1 hour? Matthew 26:49. Perhaps Christ is asking us the same question during times of sleeplessness. Let's not miss this call to prayer. How funny, it's 1:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep anymore. So I have it planned that I have hot tea, sleepy tea, and read this book. I need to pray more. And that'll bore me. not boring. That would put me to sleep, I meant. Amen. I pray. A smile on the inside. Our next letter is a smile on the inside. A smile in our face is valuable. Not only does it help us, it also helps those who encounter us. Jesus affirmed this in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Giving a smile to others then is a good way to increase our own joy. However, being told to smile when we hurt inside can cause us to be resentful. Most of us, after all, don't like to pretend to be what we are not. What then should we do? The Holy Spirit has the answer. God wants us to smile on the inside as well as the outside. Easier said than done, yes, but the Holy Spirit will help us if we call upon Him. Once I doubted that the Holy Spirit could change me, change my sometimes sour disposition. But I kept praying and seeking His guidance. Soon I began to experience small changes in my attitude. I wanted to smile and I felt resentful less often. There was a new spring in my step and people started saying, "You seem to be much happier than before." Well, I was happier, smiling on the inside. My problems had not changed. I had. It can be difficult for us to understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Only believe." Those words can be a mystery to us. Our skeptical nature wants to believe in things only after we see them. But the Bible says, faith is being certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. Children find it easy to believe in what they don't see, but we adults want proof. If we are going to have a smile on our hearts, we want something to smile about. That is why Jesus told us to have a childlike faith, a faith that believes in what is unseen. Our misunderstanding of what faith is can often cause us to stumble. Imagine a little child learning to walk, since as yet he has learned only to crawl. Learning to walk is a challenge to him, but eventually he must learn. Likewise, to become pleasing to God, we must learn to have faith. Like I said, to become pleasing to God, we must learn to have faith again, even if we have learned only to doubt our entire lives. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." John 14:16. The Greek word used for counselor is parakletos, also meaning helper. All of us need the counselor. Life is complicated with many painful trials to endure.
We need help in order to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, Philippians 4:4. That's help for us in the asking through Christ Jesus. The more I learn to smile on the inside, the more my joy increases. The more I trust the Holy Spirit to help me, the more my faith increases. That is a faith and a joy I strongly urge you if you seek. A faith and joy based on the promises of Christ Himself.